The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I don't know about different parts of town, but we had some excitement yesterday with a hailstorm. Did it hail anywhere up in North Auburn, Brian Matthews?
I was out of town Sunday, so I missed the big storms coming through. But I know they got a lot of rain in our neighborhood. I'm not sure about the hail.
Well, there was a good bit of rain, and I'll. There.
Are you showing the evidence?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was some serious hail came down. It wasn't golf ball size. It was more large marble. It was marble-sized hail that came down. And it's like, man, because we're sitting in the house. It had rained a little bit. And my wife was doing laundry. And I thought, is the ice maker turned on and the tray's not there or something? You know how the noise makes when it starts dropping out. But then I thought, something's breaking. No, and then I realized it was hail hitting the windows of the house. So, yeah, a little excitement there. Good bit of rain, but nothing, no damage that I found anywhere. So, hope everybody made it through the weekend. We did have a decent amount of rain yesterday. Looks like we're going to have rain for a while, or the possibility of it. It's summertime, even though it's not officially, I guess, for another, week and a half. But it's that kind of weather where it gets hot, it's extremely humid, it could rain, so it could do that any day. So that's what we're in right now. We're in the there are not a lot of active sports going on. We've got the final couple of ball games and the Super Regionals to determine the College World Series. We will we'll keep an eye out. I believe Tennessee Southern Miss is in a weather delay.
Feels like the NBA Finals might end tonight.
The Nuggets have
looked to be the better team in most of these games. That the Heat did win one of them, but the other three have been fairly one-sided.
After the Heat won, it's like the Nuggets went, no, okay.
And
no.
Just sort of a ho-hum, postseason where the Nuggets have really taken care of business against everyone they've been matched up against. And, it could be the first NBA title for that franchise. And, could be the start of something new with their young group, Jokic and Murray and Michael Porter Jr., who we saw at Missouri just a couple of years ago. Didn't see much of him at Missouri.
He
missed most of the season and came back, I think, like just for the NCAA tournament. He's a key part of that team as well, and it does feel like the NBA Finals, which you can catch right here on ESPN 106.7, ESPN Radio's
that
coverage.
Is right.
Tonight, Game 5 where are they? Are they in Miami or Denver? I think it's 2-3-2.
It's in Denver.
Are they in Denver tonight? Okay, so it's 2-2-1-1-1. Feels like the Nuggets might wrap things up in 5.
Yeah, I think most folks would be surprised if they don't go ahead and take care of business.
Although it would be very Miami Heat to win this one and force another one in Miami, and if they can turn this into a longer series, that would be great. But it seems like tonight might be the curtain call.
Meanwhile, here locally, camps, visitors, things like that going on. Auburn with quite a few prospects that have made their way through town, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com is with us as he is on most Mondays. B. Matt, how's it going?
It's going good. It was a big weekend for official visitors, and they brought in more official visitors today. And a lot of really good players. So we'll be able to talk about that all afternoon if you'd like to.
Saw the social media updates also had quite a few ladies in town this weekend, right? Yep. They did the ladies. I don't know exactly what they call it now, but the Ladies Football Forum, I think, was what Auburn did, and hundreds of participants were taken through, got to listen to some speeches from some coaches and some drills. Auburn has posted about that on their different socials. But, yeah, that's always a fun time when some fans can be brought in to learn more, especially when you're a new regime, right? Like, outreach is a pretty significant part of what you're doing in those first few months. We said, you know, being the coach of Auburn is like running for mayor a little bit, and that's one aspect of the job. It feels like Hugh Freeze is doing really well.
So we can talk about any of the things we just mentioned or anything you would like here on the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews got Graham back at the controls today. And hour number one of The Drive brought to you by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they're also the sponsor of our hotline. And you can get through to us by calling 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. Podcasts of The Drive are available on ESPNAU.com, and you can use the Google Podcast app. We are working on repairing the Apple and Spotify channels, but apparently at the moment they are still not working.
Right.
But station management is working to fix them. They haven't. I believe Apple hasn't updated since May 31st, but we are working to get that fixed.
Now, I did check because younger son was having trouble listening to the podcast on the website. On his phone. And we both have iPhones, and I was able to go and listen on mine. So hopefully he's got that straightened out.
But I usually
just wanted folks to know they can go there.
I usually use Google's web browser Outlook to listen to the, they have a, if you look up, I think if you Google Podcasts, The Drive with Bill Cameron, you can get Google's version of that, and that's available on a browser on pretty much any phone, and you can listen.
Well, I just have
been updating too.
I have our website, just, you know, it's one of the apps, so I just click on it and I can listen. So I mean that's something
but,
you can do. As
but
well.
The important thing is that they're working to get the Apple and Spotify situation fixed. I don't even know if I'm supposed to disclose this. I think the last ditch would be we would create new channels for both of them and ask people to resubscribe if they already. We don't want to do that. We want to keep the subscriptions we already have, but we're working to get it fixed at the moment.
So yes, that is the latest on that situation. As Brian with us, I see Brian. You posted something, and I had noticed too that the Auburn is. Updated its roster. They've updated the heights and weights and added most of the new players. I guess pretty much everyone who was here before last week.
Right. Most of the summer enrollees.
I think the only people that weren't on there is Champ Anthony, who just committed to Auburn last week, and he's not here yet.
Right.
And then the two players that we'd said needed to finish up some work. Or they wouldn't be able to be in. That is Bobby Jamison Travis and DeQuavious Sori.
Yep, that's right. And the one that stood out to me the most has to be
There's
Darren
some
Reed.
Substantial – some yeah. Now
– 6'3", 295.
Yeah, he is 35 pounds heavier than what he was listed at when he signed.
Yeah, and I remember –
Of course, he was listed 6'5". I think he was listed 6'5", 260. He shrunk 2 inches and gained 35 pounds.
Yep. I remember seeing
I've done
him.
That over the years, yeah, too, but it's nothing to celebrate.
Well, I knew he wasn't 6'5". I mean, I remember seeing him on his official visit, I think back in January maybe it was. But, man, I can't wait to see him now because, you know, he's put on that many pounds. He's going to come in right away, I think, and help. I think Auburn needs help with the defensive end position after Jeffrey Emba decided to transfer out.
Right.
They lack a lot of depth there. I think Marcus Harris is going to have to start there, but they need some guys behind him, and I think Darren Reed is a guy that have a chance to play there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys with some significant – I noticed the offensive line, there is only one player on the entire offensive line, and that now is 15.
Yeah.
15 players.
Healthy
only,
number.
Only one of the 15 is under 300 pounds, and that's Gardner Langlois at 297.
Yep.
And that's something that's happening across football, right? I mean, you're seeing offensive linemen in college.
Oh yeah, but I mean
bigger,
Auburn.
But it's key. Yeah.
You know, Auburn only had seven or eight to start with, and then a few of the guys that were under 300 this spring are now have now gained 10 or 15 pounds.
Yep. And another guy I look at is Terrence Love at 6'2", 211 for safety. You just wonder if maybe his future is going to be moving a step closer to the line at linebacker.
Yeah.
Potentially.
I'm interested to see. He was still listed there as a safety. J.C. Hart's listed as a corner.
Right. I don't know. You know, sometimes the media relations people put the roster up and they don't necessarily
adjust the positions.
So that may or may not mean something. But last I asked and talked to somebody, he was going to get a first look at wide receiver. And he's listed at 6'2", 195, which is really good size for a receiver.
Oh, yeah. It's 20 pounds heavier or so, and it's solid.
Yes, definitely.
So yeah, that's interesting there. All right, we can get into quite a few things. We'll talk about some of the players that have visited this weekend. Again, we'll keep you updated. Two SEC schools are in Omaha, and you've got Tennessee trying to become the third.
Yep, Tennessee Southern Miss is later tonight, right?
No, it's supposed to be now.
Okay, and then Kentucky LSU is a later one. Is that right?
Yeah, I know that – the Tennessee Southern Miss is the first game.
No, LSU already won, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
LSU's in.
Yeah, the other one.
LSU and Florida are in.
Texas Stanford.
Texas Stanford. I was like, Texas Stanford, I think, is a 6 or 7 o'clock start. But yeah, the 4 o'clock start was supposed to be Tennessee Southern Miss.
And that's in a rain delay right now? Is that the story?
Yeah, weather delay of some
type. I believe they're looking to start it at 5 o'clock now, or maybe it hasn't been a rain delay. Maybe it was always scheduled for 5?
It was scheduled to start at 5
o'clock. Okay, so it's not a rain delay. The game was scheduled to start at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Southern Miss and Tennessee are going to play.
I guess I was thinking the 5 o'clock was Eastern, because a lot of the times ESPN just lists everything Eastern. But, no, it's showing 5 and 7 for the two starts.
Yeah, and Southern Miss and Tennessee, a winner-take-all, a third game. Those games have been a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of the second one yesterday. And I think the winner of that series, you know, goes in as – I don't want to handicap the field too much, but I think the winner of that series has a shot to keep on winning. I think Tennessee and Southern Miss are both playing really solid baseball right now.
They are, but I think Wake Forest,
they're on an unbelievable.
I think they set a record as far as the scoring margin between regionals and super regionals of going into the College World Series. So
they're averaging double figures a game, they're not giving up many at all.
And you get a favorable draw when you're the first overall seed, but still, no, Wake Forest has been hammering the competition. One of the teams Wake Forest has eliminated from this field is Alabama. News on the Alabama baseball front, Bill?
Right, Alabama hiring Maryland coach Rob Vaughn, and according to reports, expecting to retain Jason Jackson. Now, that's an unusual situation. I know Cadillac Williams stayed on at Auburn, but a lot of times interim coaches don't stick around.
Well, and usually people with Vaughn's sort of pedigree would have their own ideas in mind about who's going to be on the coaching staff.
But he's never been in the SEC, so there's somebody that he has right there on his staff has those relationships. And you're right, they did play very well.
They played so well after the coaching change that I can understand why there would be sort of an outsized effort to keep him around.
Yeah, Vaughn, the Big Ten Coach of the Year each of the last 2 years when Maryland has won the Big Ten title. So Alabama going out and getting someone doesn't have SEC experience, but he's a young head coach who has his teams have improved just about every year that he's been coaching.
Brad Bohannon was the head coach of Alabama, but he was dismissed back in May.
Boy, was he.
Yeah, there's a situation there, a surveillance video suggesting he was communicating with a gambler about an Alabama game. You can Google that whole situation while you're at it. But Alabama went 13-6. After Jason Jackson took over as interim coach and made it all the way to super regionals, but they're going to go with Rob Vaughn with Jason Jackson on the staff.
Yeah, Vaughn has been a head coach just since 2018. He was an assistant at Kansas State and Maryland before taking over the Maryland job back in 2018. 182-117. In his career as a head coach.
Any news on the baseball front as far as talent movement? Because I know Auburn, the portal's open in college baseball.
Auburn's gotten commitments from couple of players.
Two transfer players. The kid from, UAB, left-handed pitcher Carson Myers. He's 6'3", 196, was 3-5 with a 3.52 ERA last year, 70 strikeouts and 71 innings.
Yeah, 13 starts, I believe.
He led led UAB in ERA, and then Mason Manners.
3.5 ERA is very good these days.
Mason Manners from Jacksonville State, I think that's right. Corner outfielder. Yep. I think he had, was it 12 home runs last year?
Yeah, he's a guy with some pop.
Another guy that's committed to Auburn, and will probably step right in either in left or right field as a starter.
Corner guy.
Yep.
And also Jake McMurray, right? We should mention as well, Cooper McMurray, Auburn first baseman. Do you know the story, Bill?
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, he's still playing.
Jake McMurray will be in Omaha. Yeah, he's the first baseman for Oral Roberts.
Awesome. The only the third four seed ever to make it to the College World Series. And I believe he had a big ball game in their clincher. I think he went 4-for-5.
Yeah, it's. I mean, should be an exciting time, and for Auburn folks, you know, it's a. Yeah, it's cool to see Cooper's brother there in Omaha, maybe playing a big role for a team in contention.
334-321-1390. We need to get to our first break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And got Graham at the controls, and we'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, it's getting close to vacation time. I mean, folks are getting ready, and they're traveling, and they're doing things. But that also means it's summer camp time, and Auburn has had a ton of folks in for camps, Brian. It's not like the last couple of years.
No, it's not. They are all prospect-heavy, tons of 24, 25, and 26 prospects. Have been in even the quarterback for Thompson, who I guess is going to the – is he going to the eighth
he's
or ninth grade?
Going, I think he's going into the ninth grade this year.
Started as an eighth grader in the championship team last year. Yeah, so he was there. I guess he's a
I would say class of 28.
There was even a seventh grader at one of the camps I went to. And this kid, he's really, you know, skinny and not filled out any, you know, nothing.
Which well, is body shame the seventh grader that was at the camp.
But he was making plays at receiver. And I was just going, my goodness, what is going on here? But, yeah, it's been really star-studded. Eufreese has been out there taking a lot of the top prospects up on the balcony and just seems like they're having a good time. And I think it was 5 official visitors over the weekend. 6 more got in today, so... you know, no commitments here lately, but I think there's some coming. Bryce Kane, the receiver from Baker Mobile, a slot guy, had a good camp here. I guess it was last weekend or last week, and he's coming close to a decision. I think sometime this week, or it should be this week, and I think Auburn's in good shape to land him.
You know, I had a question sent to me. I filled in for Justin Ferguson last week in his mailbag and answered some of the questions from his readers. And someone asked, you know, how, you know, I guess long story short, how dependent do you expect Hugh Freeze to be on the portal moving forward versus recruiting kids out of high school? And I think it's an interesting question because, you know, like we were saying, there could be a lot of spots on this roster at the end of the season, you know, where guys are playing their last year of college football, and you're going to need to figure out what you're going to do on the depth chart. Maybe you have internal replacements at the ready. Maybe you're going to have to go into the portal and bring in more veteran talent. But certainly Hugh Freeze profiles as the kind of guy who would understand getting top high school talent in the Southeast is the key to, you know, getting this thing going in the right direction, you know, and sustaining it. What do you think, you know, do you expect the portal to be a pretty important part over the next few seasons, or do you think they'd like to use more of those spots on incoming high school players?
I think it will be at least through the next couple of seasons. Auburn took 20 in the portal, I believe, was the total this year.
Right. I would think you'd see the number in a perfect world. You'd see it go down each year.
Yeah, I think maybe 15 next year might be the high point, depending on how much attrition they have, because there could be a lot of attrition.
Sure, you're going to have a lot of upperclassmen and draft eligible guys. Yep. It's going to be a very, not really senior, but I mean upperclassmen laden roster. So you can't fill them all with high school players, but I really think that you don't want to get into a situation sort of like Mississippi State had with Jackie Sherrill with junior college players, where you're having to turn the roster. Now, the roster turnovers turns over faster than we've ever seen it before because of the transfer portal, but you'd like to have that next, you know, your replacements already there and understanding the system and learning it and getting a little experience as you go on. So, I would think somewhere in the 12 to 18 probably this year, and then you'd like to get into the no more than, you know, 8 to 12 or something like that. What you'd love is be able to go out and get 20 really good high schoolers and fill in spots that you need. Hopefully it's just a spot here, a spot there, when you have your roster established. But that's going to take a few years.
It is. And this staff 100% recognizes that to build a championship team, you have to do that through high school football recruiting. You cannot beat the Georgias and the Alabamas and the top Ohio States, the top teams in this country, and compete with them year in and year out with bringing in a bunch of transfers every year. You've got to have those top high school elite players.
Well, the very best players aren't going in the portal.
No, you're right. A few of the very best players do, but not enough, and they don't all go to one team. Right.
You can get good. You can even get great players in the portal. To try to say,
we're going to fill out on a whole offensive line every year
and
from the portal, whereas somebody else is bringing in 4 and 5 stars and developing them on the offensive line, trouble.
And not just, you know, one team on your schedule doing that, like set with several teams on your schedule seemingly. I mean, and it remains to be seen what Auburn's schedule looks like. We can talk about that with Brian. But between, you know, if you're facing the possibility of Bama, Georgia, and LSU more often than not.
And either Oklahoma or Texas.
Yep. as well. I mean, that's, you know, if that's 4 of your 8 games in 2024, and we were talking about, I suspect it will be.
I think, too.
I think you're going to Bama. I think you're going to Georgia. I don't think they're touching those.
I don't think they'll mess with LSU because it's enough of a big ball game. And then, like we've said, I think either Texas or Oklahoma ought to play everybody in the SEC. Yeah,
I'd love to see them attempt, you know, if you give Auburn, Bama, Georgia, and LSU, you know, 3 of the top 4 teams over the last 5 years, I'd like to see them balance that out with a few of the teams near the bottom of that spectrum, presumably. But the one thing I really want from that 24 schedule is if Auburn's going to Bama and they're going to Georgia in 24 – I think either Texas or Oklahoma needs to
come. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It would
be insane if you had to go to either Oklahoma or Texas in the year you're going to Alabama.
And I'd be a little surprised. I would not be surprised if LSU was not on Auburn's schedule next year. I think when he says he wants to preserve the traditional rivalry, I don't know that LSU really falls on that for Auburn. I think they're looking at 1 or 2 for each team. And for Auburn, that's 100% Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah, but if you got 8 games to play with, I think you can find room for Auburn, LSU.
I think so, too.
I mean, I suspect.
Maybe, but if you do that and add Oklahoma, Texas, then you're talking about 4 really good teams.
Oklahoma or Texas. Yeah, I mean, I think either Oklahoma or Texas is going to be on the schedule. I doubt anyone is going to play both of them just because that would leave Oklahoma.
It wouldn't make sense for anybody to play both.
I know Arkansas or A&M have sort of indicated, you know, they'd be open to playing Texas and Oklahoma every year. I think
Arkansas said they wanted to play Oklahoma every year?
You know, I was on an Arkansas show at Media Days where they thought that they could get they suggested Texas, Oklahoma, and A&M as Arkansas's 3 opponents. I said, you guys are crazy. Like, you guys are suicidal. I would think the way to handle it with Texas and Oklahoma is you pick 7 teams in the SEC, and they're playing Texas. You pick the other 7, and they're playing Oklahoma, and then Texas and Oklahoma play each other.
I think that sounds great, but I also think that they're really working hard to try to balance it, and maybe that doesn't work out for them to try to balance it. Maybe it does.
Well,
but
here's the other thing. I think if you're going to send Auburn to Bama and Georgia, you need some big-ticket teams coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium to balance that out. And whoever that – I mean, maybe that's –
I've got the 24 schedule. I've got maybe the 24 schedule with Texas coming to Auburn – and everything else stays the same as 23, and it's an exactly balanced schedule. Okay. You average 8.5, which is between the number 8 and 9 teams over the last 5 years.
So that's LSU, Texas, Arkansas,
Arkansas, and get Vandy? To come here, and Vandy.
The one thing I dispute.
And who are the other?
You can replace
Georgia.
Vandy.
Well, no, but the Auburn game, the 23 game the 23 game's at Vandy. You could send Vandy back to Auburn. Like that wouldn't be a problem. And then Bama, Georgia, and the Mississippi schools.
Yes.
would be your road game.
The other thing I would not be surprised if maybe Auburn plays another game from the East and
South Carolina
or Kentucky.
I've got
like
a feeling South Carolina is going to pop up somehow. Mm-hmm. It seems like Auburn plays them more than most.
Well, if you gave Auburn
other East schools,
if you gave Auburn, Bama, Georgia, and LSU, you could argue that balancing that out would include Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and Arkansas. Like that would be the three. That'd be three of the four bottom programs.
Yeah, Missouri is the other.
Missouri would be the other one. If you want to keep Missouri instead of South Carolina, you could. Auburn just played Missouri, but you could do that. I suspect, and I could be proven wrong on Wednesday night. I suspect they're not going to have a situation where a team plays in the same venue against the same team 2 years in a row.
So no, you don't want to do that because I mean that really messes that messes it up. If you're gonna, well, unless you're not going to play them for two more years.
But I would hate to send a team, and that's like if. Auburn Vanderbilt is in Nashville this year. Don't send Auburn to Vanderbilt again in 24. Like even I mean, find Vanderbilt on the schedule, but like that's the sort of situation where and other examples.
It wouldn't be the worst thing.
Auburn Vanderbilt's not the worst example of that, but you know what I mean. Like in general, I would hope they avoid if they can situations where a team is going to play back to back years, either in 23, 24. Well, you don't know what the 25 schedule is, but you know what the 23 schedule is. Don't make any team go to the same place again a year later in 24, and it feels like you could still balance a schedule with that rule.
We're going to find out Wednesday night. Yes. I wonder if they will say where you're playing these teams, or if they'll just say here are the eight teams.
I don't know that. I don't know. That's the question.
Do you care about Florida being on the schedule, Brian? I know you remember that rivalry.
I mean, it's fine, but I don't care.
Florida or Tennessee, either one. I mean, they'd be fine, but you better even things up.
To me, the great thing about whatever schedule they settle on, this is just a one-off next year, but starting in 2025 or whenever they can finally settle on a 6-3 or 7-1.
You're going to play everybody?
Everybody, every 4 years, home and away.
Just that, but they have to be careful there and try to balance so you don't have a tough year and an easy year. And a tough year,
if Auburn's playing Bama and Georgia on the road, it feels like you're going to have a tough year and an easy year.
Well,
it's never easy if you're playing
Alabama and Georgia every year.
You're right. But the balancing act is going to have to involve, if you're factoring in that Bama and Georgia on the road is going to have to.
You want to sell tickets in the years that you're playing them on the road. And then, but you don't want to kill yourself in the years when you got him at home. Yeah.
The other thing we need to remember is Greg Sankey's a part of this. The SEC administration is part of this.
I think ESPN
is a big part of this.
They got matchups they want.
So they're going to look to have as many premier matches as possible.
That's why I think Auburn LSU stays.
And that's why I think you try to match Texas and Oklahoma up with, I guess the other way of doing that would be, let's give Georgia or Alabama both Texas and Oklahoma and balance things out that way because you need
to give them to Georgia. Alabama's schedule isn't nearly as easy as Georgia's.
If you were going to give a team to create premier matchups, if you were going to give a team in the SEC both Texas and Oklahoma,
do it to Georgia,
I think the argument would be Georgia. But I don't know
what's Georgia. I mean, Georgia's best ball games next year in the SEC are, Florida in their division or Tennessee and Florida, obviously, and then Auburn's the biggest Western game they've got.
One would think that if you gave Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Auburn, and one of the top, or either Texas or Oklahoma, that would be four of the top half of the league, presumably. I don't know exactly, depending on where Tennessee close. And Auburn are. Yeah, close. Yeah. But
Tennessee and Auburn right now are like dead middle of the SEC over the last five years.
Doug Amos earlier today suggested Georgia needs to go to Texas in 2024 when the SEC unveils the schedule. I think
they need to go to Oklahoma.
Either one, is probably a smart idea.
Yeah, I mean, Texas should be much better by then. But no, I agree. All right,
we've said that before, though.
Yeah, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us. Give us your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports here on the Monday Drive.
You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
We'll figure it out. Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon, 23 minutes away from 5. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And Brian was just checking, and the Hattiesburg Super Regional is indeed in a weather delay. Even though the game's not supposed to start until 5 o'clock, they're having weather problems. And you've come across some pretty interesting things that they have. The World Series field has to be filled before tomorrow.
Yeah, and this is from Twitter from Andrew Abidi. and he put up the manual up here. And if they can't play,
so they can't play tomorrow. Right, is what you're saying.
No game can be played tomorrow. So if they can't finish the game tonight, if two teams are at equal seeds in both Southern Miss and
we're two seeds. Yeah. Now let's see. Auburn was the all right. Let's see.
Auburn was one, and Southern Miss was two.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think
Southern Miss would have been ahead of Southern Miss.
Not going to matter. If they're of equal seed, then the team with the best RPI and calculated following completion of the regional competition will advance to the Men's College World Series. So right now, Tennessee has the number 12 RPI, Southern Miss number 19.
So Tennessee is just pulling for the rain, come on. Wow. Oh, that would suck. What a terrible way to wrap up your career when the head coach is retiring at Southern Miss. That'll You've got the Super Regional at home. And you don't even get to play game three.
RPI, did you say RPI through regional? So the RPI through regional has Tennessee at 12. Tennessee jumped Southern Miss by beating Clemson in the regional. So when regional play started, Southern Miss was
I knew Southern Miss had a higher RPI when the postseason started.
Yes, Southern
Miss. That would really stink if you're a Southern Miss fan.
And also, if you're watching the game.
So they're going to do everything they can to try to play that game.
They were sitting there in perfectly sunny weather, and the game kept getting delayed by lightning, within, 8 miles, whatever it is. Yeah. And it was perfectly sunny, a beautiful day. It just kept getting delayed.
Keep in mind, too, the Southern Miss coach is retiring.
That's what I said.
This could be.
What a crappy way to end your career. You don't even lose your last game.
Yeah.
Well, you may have.
Just a rain out.
Because Southern won the first game, right? And then Tennessee won the second.
Yes.
So he would have lost his last game. But, still, he didn't get officially, if they don't play, he wouldn't have officially been eliminated from the Super Regional.
And I'm looking at the radar, and I'm looking at the percentages
I
didn't think they were going to be able to play at Florida, and they played that game, the Florida South Carolina game, on Friday night, but I am pessimistic about the chances that they can get this thing. Now, do they have a curfew? Like, is it midnight?
I don't think so unless the city, or I don't think the state does.
Okay, severe thunderstorm watch in effect in Hattiesburg until 8 p.m.
No game should start later than 11 p.m.
Okay. They've got until 11 o'clock to get the game started.
They've got it until 11 o'clock tonight, and if they can't play by 11 o'clock, Southern Miss is out.
Tennessee's on its way, and the SEC has three teams in the College World Series.
Now who makes the call whether or not the game can start? That's the umpires on the field? That's not Southern Miss's people, right?
Is it? I thought once the game started, it was in the umpires' hands.
So if you're Southern Miss, that game better start by 10:55.
Yes. But even if lightning and it shows up on the
detector, nothing they can do.
Right.
That's the
guy watching that goes out there and tells them, and that's that. They have to delay it for 30 minutes.
So they need the lightning to go away by 10:30 in order to start the game by 11.
That is right.
They would need no lightning by 10:30. Severe thunderstorm watch ends at 8 p.m. Maybe there's a window in there where they can try to
Man, play. I hope so. I hope it can be won on the field.
I do too.
So that may be the last game. As we said, you got Texas Stanford playing to become the other team there in the College World Series. So, that is crazy. All right, what were we about to get to? I thought we were about to get something else when Brian saw that.
Did we have something else on the on the docket? We were talking scheduling in the last segment, and I'm curious to see what the special looks like Wednesday night. And what they what rivalries they've preserved and which ones sort of fall by the wayside in 2024.
If the schedules are similar to what they've been, in other words, where it still looks sort of like division play, where you're playing, I would still think you're going to play, at least four division games.
We were talking during.
You'd have an idea where those are going to be played, so that would help you with your schedule. If you knew where four games were being played, then you ought to have an idea where the other four are.
Well, during the commercial break, we were talking about Deion Sanders. We eventually stumbled onto Deion. I think you tossed out there a question about Oklahoma that I did.
I said I just wonder who the coach will be at Oklahoma in 2025 if Brent Venables doesn't get things turned around quickly. Oklahoma is not going to sit and suffer and struggle for too long.
I don't really understand why this school, this football program, which has really built its whole base on wide open, great offenses, exciting, went out there and hired a defensive guy with head coaching experience.
You know who I think the next coach? Well, if it's not, I mean, you said Josh Heupel because Oklahoma would love to get him. Tennessee fans love hearing that. Lane Kiffin. Well, Lane Kiffin comes in, they feel really excited, and he's gone.
Well, the one place, I mean, that comes to mind where you would think, okay, they would have a real
his
chance.
His alma mater.
Yeah, would have a real chance of poaching him away from Tennessee. And I don't know what the relationship
the
is
the guy
like.
Was invited to New York, you know, for the Heisman ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, he was a great quarterback there, you know, a couple of decades ago and is still remembered fondly by the fan base. And he's achieving what he's achieving in college football.
That is right.
Right now, it just feels like it would be the logical thing. If
not, Bob Stoops.
Bring him back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's coaching again.
Someone asked me, it's funny you say that, someone asked me if I think, if the Billy Napier thing capsizes this year, do I think Florida looks to the past and thinks Urban Meyer can draw them out of this problem? Is that something?
God, I think I'd rather take Bob Stoops than Urban.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling with Urban Meyer that he's probably – I think he's content just being like Lee Corso for the next 10, 15 years and sounding smart on TV without actually going back into coaching. But that's what I thought John Gruden was going to do too, and then John Gruden –
He's not quite a Corso. He's won a little bit more than Lee did.
Sure, no, but I mean, as far as being a college, like,
I know,
as
I know
as far as being
mean.
The coach on TV, yes, he's achieved more as a coach than it's like if Bobby Bowden was Lee Corso,
right?
I think Bob Stoops would be, if Bob Stoops wants to get back into it. I mean, I've thought for years.
How many former college coaches would want to get back into college now with NIL and the transfer portal?
Yeah, but at Oklahoma, maybe it's a little bit more enticing. But it's also he's been gone for a while now,
he
right?
Has.
I mean, that's something you don't see.
Yeah, he's been involved.
He did the XFL for a year. He's stuck around. We've heard him as a name other places. But no, I think it's a good question. There are places. I think there's reason to be less patient than ever before. At a superpower, right, Brian? Like now that you see, I mean, if you're Oklahoma or you're Florida, and year two for a coach ends, and you're not sure it's on the right track, at a place like that, you might just pull the plug.
Yeah, Auburn did.
Auburn did during year two, and I don't think it's going to be the exception. I think that now, especially with the belief that the transfer portal gives you a chance to immediately inject talent into your team if you know what you're doing and you're capable of landing that talent. Yeah, I think Billy Napier and Brent Venables are both coaches who, even though this is year two,
hey, they're at places where the expectations are very high,
and they believe they could go get a coach who can get them those expectations if you're not the guy.
And don't forget, Bob Stoops did come back and coach Oklahoma in the bowl game.
That's
just a year and a half ago.
Yeah, and I mean, I wonder if it's. I mean, I guess I don't know how hands-on you need to be as the head coach anymore, and how much you can defer, and how much he wants to how much he wants to get back into it. But I mean, Bob Stoops would be. I think there would certainly be like a Bob Stoops contingent there at Oklahoma, especially if he indicated he wanted to get back into college football.
Yeah, he is. He is still involved in the XFL. He is still the
I believe he's younger than
the Arlington Renegades head coach and general manager. He's just turned 62.
I was going to say he's younger than Saban. I mean, for folks, I mean,
he's almost 10 years younger.
Yeah, almost
Saban.
10 years younger than Nick Saban. So I mean, I think Bob Stoops is an interesting one.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of hour number 1. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes of hour number 1 here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Brian, what all's going on over there at Auburn Sports, and what that you know of is upcoming?
A lot of recruiting with official visitors that left this weekend and the ones that came in today and this afternoon tonight. And then I guess it's Wednesday. They'll be leaving, plus they'll be in elite camp. And then I think Thursday is another 7-on-7 / O-line D-line camp that we'll cover. Wednesday night, of course, is the announcement for the SEC schedules for 2024. And then I don't know the exact date, but I believe sometime this week they're going to announce all the details around the expansion to Plainsman Park that's coming.
Oh, that's good. We had a couple of questions about that toward the end of last week. And I know a couple of folks were just wondering, so I didn't know when.
There's nothing left to be voted on, right? Like they've already
approved that back in February, yeah. $30 million. They've just changed around the plans.
Yeah,
I don't know all the details of the changes yet, but I'm working to get those and to have that ready to go whenever they're ready to put it out there.
I think that seating atop the left field wall will be in demand when they finally open it up, and that's. I remember. I think that's on the docket for these renovations.
It was included in the original.
Okay.
You don't know
what's coming first, though.
Okay.
I mean, which things will be completed first?
I do think you can count on the
I would think premium seating
down the first baseline, the extra adding another row above, you know, another section above, you know, what's already there.
Above the current stands that are there.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely going to be part of this new.
Yeah, I would think that's the priority is that, because that is something that you can tie into, big time contributors that can take advantage there of baseball and grad. That's a great view for Tiger walking football as well.
Was the plan. The last time we heard was to try to do all of it before the start of next season, right? Like they're going to try to do.
Original plan was have it completed by 2025.
Okay. So maybe it was in stages. They were going to do projects that were going to be ready for next season, and then projects that would be the subsequent off season. Which, remains to be seen what's changed and what hasn't. I guess.
I think they ought to put for the seats that are going to be there up above the monster. I think there ought to be a slide down.
That'd be cool.
Fire pole.
No, I mean like a tube slide.
Can we do both? Can we have a fire pole too?
Fire pole a little more dangerous. A little more dangerous. You know, I mean, some people don't know how to shimmy, don't know how to slide down a pole.
Fire pole.
They either hold on and they rip the skin off their hands, or they just smash into the ground.
You have a professional who goes down the fire pole
with you.
Whenever Auburn hits a home run, right? You send someone.
Oh, I think that'd be good.
Aubie, send Aubie down the fire pole.
Or we make it like at the fair. You know, somebody.
There you go.
Goes up to the top, dings the bell, and then slides down.
Depends on how far the home run goes, right? You go. And there's who does the slide? That's the Brewers, right?
Yeah, they do. They have Bernie Brewer.
Bernie goes down the slide, so
into the beer.
Yeah, I think you could find something.
You'd find a lot of willing participants for that.
Yeah, fire pole into the beer.
I think, into the beer. Yeah, whatever.
Those left field seats, though. I mean, it's not the most important part of the renovation, but I think that will.
Well, they'd be super cool.
Yeah,
no question.
I think that's going to become a go to spot for people to post themselves on social media. You know, up in those seats, because that's going to be pretty cool. And if I mean, I imagine Hugh Freeze could see that as, or Bruce Pearl could see that as sort of a recruiting opportunity too, being able to take someone up into something cool like that.
Yeah, so we'll be looking forward to that. Got a rundown this week, Brian?
Yeah, we'll be getting together tomorrow for that, so that should be fun. And and whatever else pops up, of course. You know, I think most of the transfer portal and roster additions are done for football and basketball. So now it's just going through summer workouts. I know they've been over there practicing basketball-wise.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit limited about what we can report from that, but usually we can go watch those and just get an idea how the team's looking for this upcoming year.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a little more about basketball. I know we're about out of time here in hour number one. Auburn's had an addition, which probably wraps things up for the roster for this upcoming year. We'll talk about that and much more in hour number two. We'll get into some of the details, some of the players that have been visiting Auburn, camping at Auburn, football-wise. But we're wide open. We'd love for you to join in with any of your thoughts or questions as we head into hour number two here on the Monday Drive.
following is an Auburn Network production.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill and Dan joined by Brian Matthews as usual on Mondays. Brian, of course, from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Graham back at the controls. They say that Drew will be back sometime this week. We'll see. I mean, just depends on how much fun he's having up there in Pittsburgh. But yeah, we welcome you in. Hope everybody doing well here on this Monday. Another warm day with a chance of rain. That's summer. That's just the way it is. Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We'd love for you to join in, and one of the ways you can is by calling the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which you can get at ESPNAU.com or with the Google Podcast app. We are still working to fix the Apple and Spotify situations.
Dang.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
We could ask.
I think we've pretty much done all we can. We're just waiting.
Yeah. So we could ask Brian a couple of the questions that I got in the mailbag. I referenced it.
All right. Let's talk a little basketball.
Let's get that.
Yeah. Since we last spoke a week ago, Brian, Auburn did indeed. We'd said, well, Auburn might want another guy to help out there in the front court, and they add Adoren Scott. Mm-hmm. A 6'9 junior college transfer from Navarro, I believe.
That's right.
Junior college.
An average 9.3 points, 6.8 rebounds, 1.3 blocks there. I think he comes to Auburn as a backup 4-5, so he can back up Jalen Williams at the 4. He can back up Janai and Dylan at the 5. And, you know, he's a guy that if you watch his tape, he can get up and down the floor pretty good. He's athletic. He could do some things. So I think he's a guy that maybe plays a couple rotations normally a game, and then if somebody gets in foul trouble or it gets banged up, he, you know, be able to step in and play more. And then I believe he has 3 years of eligibility left. So he is a guy that could develop, you know, because next year I'm guessing that there's going to be a lot of available positions.
Oh, yeah.
At the
Most of those guys you were talking about at the 4 and 5 won't be back.
Will anybody be back at the 4 or 5 other than Adoren? I'm trying to think. Somebody I'm not thinking of.
Chris Moore might be able. I guess he could.
Yeah, he'll be a senior with a year left, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the rest of the guys probably will be done.
Broome could come back, but you would assume.
Oh, yeah.
He was this time.
Baker Mazzara could be a he could play a little bit of 4, depending on what you want to do.
He could.
He's a bigger guy, and he's got, I think, 2 years left in college basketball. So, Chad Baker Mazzara.
You're going to need some help at the 5.
Yeah, one would think that that's something Bruce is going to be targeting in the high school ranks or in the transfer portal because, you know, that was a – I think for a long time there was the belief, and just like in football, you probably don't want to be building the core of your team via the transfer portal. You want to be getting impact players out of high school. At the same time, there are better bigs in the transfer portal than ever before. Impact guys, Janai Broome switched teams last year. Mm-hmm. Walker Kessler switched teams via the transfer portal. Just at Auburn, Arthur Kaluma, the Creighton forward, was highly sought after in the transfer portal. I mean, people forget Oscar Tshiebwe was a transfer from West Virginia to Kentucky. I mean, you can get big impact. I mean, and now there's talk that maybe Alabama has landed a pretty significant big in the transfer portal. Word going around that Grant Nelson maybe has made a choice, Bill.
Yeah, he's a 6'11 center from North Dakota State, averaged 18-9 a year ago. I mean, quite a few schools had gone after him, Gonzaga, but it looked like it came down to Alabama and Arkansas, and apparently he is headed to Alabama, and Man, they've that's something they really needed, especially with Charles Bediako deciding to stay in the NBA draft. I mean, he is the I'm trying to look at other guys they have inside. Nick Pringle. I don't see anybody else over 6'7" on the roster, so they really needed another big man.
Right, and the we speculated on Kobe Brown back when he was both in the draft and in the portal that if he decided to come back to college basketball, Alabama would probably have been the favorite to land Kobe Brown's services, but Kobe Brown stayed in the NBA draft, and it sounds like he had a very nice offseason for himself, and Kobe Brown has a good shot of being drafted in the NBA draft in a couple of weeks. But in the meantime, Alabama going to the portal and picking up Grant Nelson. We were talking off the air. There's another Jordan Brown is another big. He averaged just about a double double this year at Louisiana in the Sun Belt. Former Pac-12 sixth man of the year.
Yeah, he was a grad transfer to them, right?
Yeah, he is a sixth year of eligibility guy who is looking to play for his, I think it's his fourth team. Actually, I think he went somewhere and then Arizona.
Nevada first.
That's right. He signed with Eric Musselman out of high school, played at Nevada, went to Arizona. I believe when Musselman left, he transferred to Arizona and then ended up at Louisiana. And now he is moving on after a good season at Louisiana to play his final year of college basketball somewhere else.
Kentucky really, really wanting him. But Arkansas is involved as well with Musselman.
Arkansas is going to be a trendy.
Arkansas is involved, it seems like, with every transfer portal player.
They're going to be a trendy national championship pick, I think, going into next season. I think they'll be the highest-ranked team in the SEC. Although Tennessee is, Tennessee brings back Vescovi and Ziegler. And that's a impressive. I mean, guard play matters. It's a very impressive, very experienced backcourt. Tennessee's, they've been sort of weathering the storm, but they also got what's his name back? Triple J, Josiah Jordan James.
Jordan James.
Yeah. So he's coming back as well. So Tennessee's going to be highly thought of, but I think Arkansas is going to be. Unless we have major shakeups to the rosters as we stand now. I think Arkansas will be the favorite in just about everybody's mind to win this league, and maybe do more than that. I think they'll probably be a preseason top five team and that's before the possibility of them adding Jordan Brown
right
to that mix. I mean, Devo Davis was a huge retention for Musselman, and then going out and he also got what's his name, Bayfall, the five star that Auburn was in on, and then going out and getting L. Ellis and Mark, the guy from Houston.
That had a great game against Auburn.
Barbecued, yeah. Auburn in the second half of the NCAA tournament game for Houston. L. Ellis, and I mean, it's just a really impressive collection of talent there at Arkansas. And Musselman, what you said it off the air, right? I mean, this guy is working the portal.
Yeah, I mean, he is the guy. I mean, they're the team, it seems like, that's involved with everybody there in the transfer portal. Brian, I wanted to get your thoughts because, all right, so – with our buddy Ben Taylor over on mornings, Auburn Opelika this morning on WANI, heard him talking this morning. We were talking the other day. I know Ben is still very, very flustered that Auburn isn't showing up on preseason top 25s in college basketball. And I can understand why that's the case. I mean, if you're somebody and you're not familiar with all the players. You look at a roster that had two all-SEC players last year.
Right.
And one of them is gone and has been replaced by a very highly touted true freshman.
Yep.
In Aiden Holloway, taking Wendell Green. Because Wendell Green and Jani Broome were Auburn's two all-SEC representatives last year, second team all-SEC guys. So I can see where someone on the outside going, well, you had a second-team all-conference guy. Is there can you guarantee me that Aiden Holloway is going to be second-team all-SEC this year? No, you can't.
Right.
So you'd go, well, it's pretty much the same team, and you brought in a couple of mid-majors or smaller school guys. So why – and where did Auburn finish last year? They were out in the round of 32.
Yeah.
So it's reasonable to see where – someone, I'm not going to blast anyone who says, you know, Auburn should definitely be in the top 20 because I think they've got to show it. But folks that see this team or have an idea of the kind of talent that Bruce Pearl is bringing in Chaney Johnson and Denver Jones and Chad Baker Mazzara, those guys weren't at you know, huge
Denver Jones
spots
may have
coming
been
in.
Pretty high.
He was, but I mean, he was also not at a powerhouse, right. at a basketball powerhouse. Right. That's what a lot of people look at. Yeah. They'll go, well, you didn't get that guy from this school or that school. So, you know, Auburn got votes, and I'm not disappointed, terribly upset that Auburn's just outside the top 25 this many months away from the start of the season.
Yeah, I think this team will probably respond well to it. They've got a bunch of guys, I think, that will be motivated by nobody really thinking they're any good. And I think they're better than last year. I don't know how good they're going to be. I don't know how good Chaney Johnson and Chad Baker Mazzara are going to be.
I think they'll shoot it better than last year.
But they should, and they should defend well from the perimeter, and that was the two biggest issues from last year. So you improve in those two areas. You know, you get a little bit more playmaking out of the point guard, so to speak. I think Auburn could be significantly better, possibly. We'll see. Yeah.
No, I think there's a wide spectrum here because you go from you take Wendell Green and Zepp Jasper and Alan Flanagan away,
right.
and you think about the minutes they played on last year's team, but you're not. I mean, you're replacing them with players that you have reason to be excited about. Holloway was a 5-star. You've got Denver Jones, who I saw ranking earlier today. I think
had him number
as,
19.
Yeah,
I
think 19 or maybe 20 now that Jordan Brown jumped into the portal. You know, maybe he's dropped a spot, but still one of the top 20 players who switched teams in the transfer portal this past year. And there's the chance that Jani Broome improves on his first year in conference play. So I think the chance for Auburn to, I mean, you could envision a scenario where Auburn takes a step back if things don't line up at the guard position, right? Because there are. You're losing.
Oh yeah, I mean, my point
you're losing
is just
defense. You're losing. I mean, there's. I do wonder if the optimist consider the things Auburn lost, right? Like that. That's the one thing to think about. Is like the optimists
probably not.
Aren't factoring in what Wendell Green brought to the table, the way Zepp defended,
Flanagan's defense
when he was effective, yeah. And I think people are sort of dismissing that you lost anything. I think you may have added some stuff too, though. I mean,
I agree
with these new players.
334-321-1390. Yeah, my point was just, you know, it's understandable where people could be skeptical because they saw what the results were and said, well, you lost this. Do you know that what you got is going to be better? I think a lot of Auburn people feel like, yes, but, I mean, we'll have to wait and see.
Right.
Like you said, they're working out a little bit. We're hearing, you know, some reports from over there. So I think it's going to be a fun team to watch again.
I think
Bruce will have them motivated. I'm not concerned about that.
Lenardi's a little bit colder on Arkansas than some other people. Lenardi's got Arkansas as a 5 seed in his current projection of the NCAA tournament field. He's got Auburn as an 8, and he's got the top team, I believe. He's got Tennessee as a 2. I think Tennessee's the team that if people aren't picking Arkansas, maybe Bama would be the other one.
Bama's got some serious questions still.
I think so, too. Yeah.
They got a lot of guards. I mean, Quinterly's back for his 10th year. Mark Sears is coming back. Ryland Griffin, they brought in a hotshot guard as well. It's just what are they going to be able to do? How well are they going to be able to rebound? And that's why Nelson today is a huge addition for them.
Doesn't feel like there's a coach that you look at and you're like, oh, yeah, he's really on the hot seat going into this season. I would think that maybe Kentucky, if Calipari, like if the team really underachieved, maybe Calipari would be under more fire than ever before. Maybe Tennessee, if the team really underachieved, maybe there'd be, you know, anger directed at Rick Barnes. But there's not a clear candidate among these coaches of, oh yeah, he's really got to win this year or he's going to be in a lot of trouble. I don't know if there's maybe that's because we had so much turnover.
Yeah, you're right.
Over the last 2 years that
there's not
a coach that really feels like, oh yeah, he's in big trouble. If I mean, I guess Calipari and Barnes, which is so weird to say.
Yeah,
right?
Like,
if there's a coach on the hot seat in the SEC, it's John Calipari. He was only one. Then you know he's only got.
Yeah, but he hadn't won enough
double digit conference titles. But
you're
right. Only you know
recently.
The standards are. What have you done for me lately?
All right, I tell you what. It's 16 after. We've got a couple of callers holding. John, hold on. You'll be up first when we come back. But we need to get to our first break of hour number 2 here on the Monday Drive.
Time to churn up some more yardage. on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 19 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Monday with Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews. And let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Two quick thoughts. I was wondering, first of all, has Auburn actually broken ground yet on the renovations at Plainsman Park? And the second question I had was, I don't know if you guys had seen this today or not, but I saw that Auburn Club Hockey is going to Division I now. I don't
saw
know.
That.
My question is, yeah. Is that an actual scholarship sport that would have an impact on Title IX?
No, no. It's a club team. They're just going to be competing at the D1 level.
Yeah. Okay. So they could, in theory, Auburn can make the Frozen Four in hockey. Is that, would that hold
yeah.
true? Okay. That's actually really cool. I love hockey.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and of course, they play over in Columbus.
Okay, cool. That was my only two questions. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. And, Brian, we were talking a little bit about baseball
a while ago.
Scheduled, last I heard, was sometime in July to get started on it.
Yeah, I knew they wanted to get started as soon as they could. And you're saying we'll have the details of what actually is going to be.
Should be this week. And then construction starting in July. And unless something's changed, the plan was to have it completed by before the start of the 2025 season. So a sort of a two-year construction.
Back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Cameron is up next. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah. I caught the tail end of y'all talking about the football schedule for next season. So I just kind of wanted to get y'all's thought about some thoughts. I'm thinking, What's more likely out of these three scenarios do you think will happen? Auburn will A, host Texas and Oklahoma in 2024. Auburn will go to both Texas and Oklahoma next year. Or Auburn will host one and go to the other. And I'll just hang up and take that.
Actually,
I don't think they'll both be on the schedule.
Right.
In an eight-game schedule. I just don't think there's enough. Because if you think about playing both Texas and Oklahoma, that takes
somebody,
Texas and
somebody doesn't get a chance to play one of them.
Yeah, I thought that maybe seven teams will play Texas, the other seven will play Oklahoma, and then Texas and Oklahoma play each other.
And if Auburn does go to Alabama and Georgia, as we expect, that
right.
would be part of the regular rotation now.
I would think,
I don't think there's any way you send them on the road to play
no,
Oklahoma.
No, I think you're
Texas.
Hosting one of the two.
Yeah.
And your guess is as good as mine as to who it would be.
And look, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and either Texas or Oklahoma as four of your eight SEC
that's
games
pretty strong.
Is pretty strong. And then we'll see what the other four games could look like. But, no, I would think that, in fact, I think I said it earlier, I think it's imperative that if you're keeping the Alabama and Georgia rivalries on the road in 24, yeah, I think either Texas or Oklahoma needs to come to Jordan-Hare Stadium in their first year in the league and play a home game. And the other one probably shouldn't be on the schedule because you want to balance it out and keep. With nine games, it's different. But with only eight games on the schedule, you only have so many Texas and Oklahoma games to throw around. And I don't think there's room for anyone to play both Texas and Oklahoma in 2024 unless you're willing to pull both Texas and Oklahoma off of somebody else's schedule.
Yeah. So, I mean, that we'll see. But that just makes the most sense to do that. But that doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be.
Bill, what would your reaction be if Auburn got Texas and Oklahoma and, like, Georgia didn't get either? Like, that would be
Then I would think the conference office has really moved from Birmingham to downtown Athens.
We're firing up that column.
No, I think it's – I think we said that too. Georgia probably needs to go on the road.
Georgia's schedule this year is just – I mean, it's ridiculous how easy their schedule is this year.
Yeah,
I mean,
the football – and part of that's because of the roster that they've built as well. But the FPI people have them as overwhelming favorites in practically every game they play in the regular season this year. I think maybe they – do they go to Knoxville?
Here it is.
Read Georgia's schedule.
UT Martin at home.
Okay.
Ball State at home.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina at home.
Okay.
UAB at home.
Okay.
Auburn
wait,
and Auburn.
Wait, they're four.
Okay, so they play nothing but home games until they come to Auburn.
So they're four out of conference games or three paycheck games in Georgia Tech? For some reason,
What's Georgia Tech been? That's been a real challenge.
Yeah, no, I thought they played
Road, they're going to be, you know, in the future, Georgia's going to be, you know, but not now. Yeah.
Home against Kentucky, at Vanderbilt, Florida and Jacksonville, Missouri at home, Ole Miss at home, Tennessee on the road. That's their toughest
game. That is by far, yeah.
And then Georgia Tech in Atlanta.
I mean, Tennessee and Auburn on the road are the two toughest games they have, and it's not even close.
No,
that is a ridiculously easy schedule.
Yeah, they're overwhelming
for a team that is so much more talented than anybody they're going to play.
Right.
Well, and the rotations keep them away from Bama and LSU and A&M you know, at the moment. Although I guess
seems like they always have kept them away from Alabama and A&M.
You can debate. Well, you know that was something Doug Amos said to me today, which I'll throw at you guys. He wants Georgia on Bama's 24 schedule. I don't think the conference is going to do that. What do you guys think? You can tear it up. You can
that would get Alabama about even with Auburn, and it would make Georgia's a little tougher than if you'd add, you know.
I wouldn't totally rule it out.
I don't think the conference would do it, but at the same time, you create a huge matchup, and that's a game. You know, if ESPN's got input, I think if you're ESPN, you want Bama.
Does
Georgia
the conference
each other.
Want to schedule what they foresee as a possible
conference championship
matchup so that they'd have a rematch? Do they want to avoid scheduling a game that might cause a rematch?
You know, as long as the game's in September or October, I don't see how it's a big issue there. But
keep in mind, too.
But there's nothing you can do about it now because eventually someone's going to play in November.
Hey, starting with 2024, it's just going to be the top two teams anyway are going to play in the title game.
People won't be sympathetic to Bama's plight in this situation, but if you put Georgia on their schedule, you're probably talking about Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, Georgia, and either Texas or Oklahoma as five of Bama's eight conference opponents in 2023, which I do wonder if it, at some point that would – I don't know. I do not expect Bama versus Georgia.
Because Nick didn't like the three that he was going to be stuck with. It's like, well, here, how about these five?
Pipe down over there in Tuscaloosa. No, I suspect that they won't give us Bama-Georgia on the 24 schedule, but maybe they will. Maybe they found a way to balance things out where that's and they've got an algorithm or they've got something they like where – I mean, that would be a – super highly anticipated, you know what I mean? Like the excitement for a Bama Georgia matchup would be there. When was the last time they played in the regular season? Was it pre-COVID?
12?
No,
17.
Yeah, I was going to say it was 17. It was early in the Kirby Smart era, I want to say, like 18 or 19. But feels like it's been a while.
That's right. Because they got a rematch.
But it feels like it's been a while. So I think. Doug was in favor of it as a guy who wants to see and I think part of it was trying to make Georgia's schedule tougher. And one way you can make now the flip side is when you make Georgia's schedule tougher, you're also making the other team's schedule tougher by putting Georgia on it. So if you add a Bama or an LSU to Georgia's schedule, you're also giving, you know, you got to keep in mind what Bama and LSU.
That's what I mean. Alabama's schedule is below average. Georgia's is at the very bottom as far as strength of schedule for this coming year. So you need to adjust that. Like I said, Auburn's is nearly the perfect average. You've got some other teams that would have much tougher schedules. I haven't gone through the whole league yet.
Sending Georgia to Tuscaloosa would make the schedule tougher for them in 2024.
Sure it would.
Like that, I mean, that's if the idea is marquee matchups and, you know, having the best teams playing each other and creating, you know, I could see, I don't know, I didn't think the conference was going to do it, but I could see a way it happens.
334-321-1390. We're coming up on our bottom of the hour break. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews here on the Monday drive. I don't know.
Brian, did your soccer team win? Did you get your
Liverpool finished fifth, so they did not make the Champions League. They had to play in Europa League, so no, they didn't win anything this year. No trophies.
Okay, all right. We get our. I know the season's over right now. This is the soccer season.
They have made their first signing, Alexis McAllister, midfielder. Their midfield sort of fell apart this year. That's why they struggled. So they're rebuilding.
Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Michael is next here in Auburn. Hey, Michael.
Hey guys, I didn't know if you had commented originally. I think Georgia had Oklahoma on the schedule this year, but because of the them coming into the conference. They were told to drop that. Both teams were told to drop that game.
Yeah, you know what? That's, Georgia has been very fortunate a couple of times. Remember, they had Alabama on their schedule before the last expansion of the SEC, and both teams were able to then not see each other at least during the regular season. It was scheduled.
It was a home-and-home, right?
Right.
And because the 2024 game wasn't going to be able to be played
right.
with Oklahoma joining the league, they decided to drop the entire series and not play either game, I think.
I just remember, you know, as a student at Auburn, and I was in the band, I remember, you know, the old Jefferson Pilot, and because I remember in 2002 when Auburn was heavily favored at the beginning of the season, I remember that was a roller coaster of a year because we started off so bad, but then we turned around and I think beat an undefeated Tennessee team and an undefeated Arkansas. So we were very high-low, and you know, the 2:30 game slot, you know, they wouldn't really come out until Saturday evening, Sunday night, of who was going to get that time slot. So I'm curious what that looks like for ESPN and when they're going to make those decisions of who gets what time slot, if it's going to be 2 weeks out or if they just kind of go ahead and have that slotted into a time slot moving forward with everything, all the SEC being on ESPN.
Yeah, I think with ESPN having control of all of it, I mean, I think we'll probably see more six-day windows or maybe 13-day windows where and maybe 13s because ESPN's going to want the best possible
right.
matchups.
So they can wait as long as possible.
And maximize like when they put those, you know, when they decide times. I don't know how much will change with ESPN having control of the whole thing because, I mean, they'll have all the matchups, but I think they'll still want to put the best games in the best time slots.
And the other thing I was going to comment on is I believe back in 92, whenever, you know, we went to the 12 games and Florida really, really pushed for Auburn to be their main rival. I think they offered, you know, money to try to keep that to as a rotating game to not have to rotate, but to be able to play. And I think Auburn and Florida played many, many years after that, you know, it kept the rivalry going. But then when it rotated, I think to the 6-2 kind of format, they wanted to kind of keep Auburn as a common opponent. So I'm curious to how things are going to look moving next year. If we'll see an Auburn Florida matchup just to bring some of those rivals back.
I think it's possible.
Yeah. I really wonder how much, you know, how drastically they're going to change. But I wouldn't be surprised at doing something like that, bringing some things in just to go, ooh, here's one you haven't seen in a little bit and fans, you know, talked about it. So either a Florida or a Tennessee on there would make a little sense.
Now, I have a question, and I probably should know this. It should be obvious, but let's say you do the 16 teams, and you do the top eight and the bottom eight, right? And you're trying to balance the schedules. Is that every team plays four from the top eight and four from the bottom eight? Does that work out right?
It can't necessarily.
You could do that. You could have a schedule where everybody plays four from the top eight and four from the bottom eight. Tap dance around some of the other things, but.
Does that work? Would that be completely is that as balanced as you can make it, or am I missing something?
No, that's not as balanced as you can make it. The way you make it more balanced is to seed the teams
1 through 16 and
assign points and try to come up with. But what I liked is one of the things the Big Ten schedule was talking about doing is addressing it every 2 years. They're going on 2 year cycles.
Why not?
That makes more sense because the SEC first was talking about 10 years, and it doesn't matter how good a team was 10 years ago. How many coaches have teams been through in the last 10 years?
If the plan is to have a rotation where every 4 years you play, I can get why they would address it every 4 years.
But every single year you can sort of be adjusting and seeing what it looks like over the last, you know, it's always going to be over the last 4 years, I would say.
But I tossed that out there the day the SEC announced, you know, what they were doing from Destin. I tossed out that if you're ripping up the 2024 schedule, then yeah, why not try to a couple of prerequisites, right? Try to get either Texas or Oklahoma on the schedule of all 14 SEC teams that are currently in, have them play everyone and then play each other. That's 8 games.
Yep.
Well, it works perfectly. I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to make drastic changes to anything.
Don't make anyone go to the same venue 2 years in a row after they played there in 23.
That'd be hard to do that, you know, because remember when, you know, the Auburn-Georgia thing happened.
You're already planning ahead in the future. That's the thing. You know, year. You have people that have been planning for next year. Yeah. They know who we've got this year, and they're thinking, well, next year we go there, and you might have arrangements and things like that. So, yeah, don't swap where – if you're playing a team, don't swap where it should be.
But if you can protect most of the key rivalries and have a situation where everyone in the league is playing four of the so-called top eight and four of the so-called bottom eight, you know, using the last 5 years, I think that'd be great. Like if it worked out that way, you know, that would be a schedule. Now it gets murky in the middle, right?
Yeah,
like,
if you're 7, 8, 9 or 10, are you going to play four other teams that are up above you, and then you'd only get three below you, and you're there in the middle? You'd be hurting.
And if you do 1-16, right? Auburn's got 1 and 2.
Yes.
Nobody's going to dispute
Auburn has
that.
1 and 2, so they
on
need
on the road.
Yeah, they've got 1-2. Yeah, they have.
So
one.
You've got to have 15-16 on there, probably,
if
you're going to bounce it, or 14-16, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So and then maybe some teams in the middle.
Oh yeah, right? Absolutely. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. You can help us with our math and more for the final half hour of the drive.
Now, more of the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Monday. Yeah, we're doing math. It's fun to try to figure how
avert your eyes.
How would you determine what is a balanced schedule? How do you assign things? And one of the things we were talking about here, I'd said, you know, I don't think you need to go over the last 10 years to determine the strength of teams. But I do agree. I think all of us agree recency is more important than length. A length of time.
A last 10-year window feels like it just factors in. There's too much frivolous data in
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I mean, it's neat to look at, and you can go, wow, this team, what a good power ranking for this team over the last 10 years. But I wouldn't base schedules over 10 years.
Yeah, I think the last four, the last five, weighing the more recent past heavily.
Look, the players on your team, most likely, I mean, once we get, we're about done with the extra years of COVID. And by the time they start doing this, players on the team won't have been there longer than 4 years.
I'll tell you whose fortune changes if you factor it that way is Tennessee. Because Tennessee, I mean, they're one thing if you look at their last 10 years. They're another thing if you look at their last five. They're something else.
If you just look very much at last year.
The last four weighing last season heavily.
Yeah. And that's changes. What I think. I think you should weigh the last year the most. And 4 years ago, the least. And the easiest way to do that, I learned this a long time ago, 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 = 10. So what you can do is the last year can be 40%, the year before 30%, 3 years ago 20%, 4 years ago 10%, that's 100%. You'd be easily able to come up with where teams were on a 1-16 ranking over the last 4 years, weighing more heavily on last year, which should mean more about this year's team than 2, 3, or 4 years ago.
We were looking at the Big Ten schedules, Brian, and I thought one innovative and kind of interesting way to do it was to. I mean, we were thinking, okay, well,
we were locked into. Well, if you got an 8-game schedule, it's one common opponent. If you got a 9-game schedule, it's three.
Yeah, we thought everybody needed to have. We were sort of approaching this as, oh yeah, everyone's got to have the same number of permanent opponents. The Big Ten threw that away and said, there are 11 or, you know, we'll survey the league. We'll ask the athletic departments, you know, who they feel their rivals are, what games they feel like need to be played every year. And they came up with 11. You know, there's 11 games on the schedule
total.
That are in the conference. There are 11 games that
That's
need to be played every year. Three of them involve, was it Wisconsin? It was one of those teams. Or Iowa? It was Iowa. Yeah, three of the games involve Iowa, but it's an uneven number.
Yeah, Iowa has three. Penn State has zero.
Penn State does not have a
permanent
designated
opponents.
I'd have probably given Penn State Michigan State. You know, we were talking about that.
Yep.
But Penn State doesn't have any. And that's.
But they said what Penn State will do is Penn State can play Michigan and Ohio State three times in 4 years.
Let me ask you, Brian, if you
that would be really confusing to try to come up with schedules.
That's
for that.
A much different. That's algebra. That's not simple math.
And sure enough. enough, that's what we tried to do last week on the show, Brian. But for Auburn, if you took that approach, are Bama and Georgia the two games you feel like need to be played, or do you think LSU's graduated to that status? Do you think there's another team out there that needs to be on the Auburn schedule? Because I'm curious to see if they preserve the LSU rivalry on Wednesday night when we see the
2024
schedule. I think
for 24 they will, but I don't know that it has to be as a. I don't think LSU's any more deserving than Tennessee or Florida.
Right. Now that there's no West and East, LSU rivalry doesn't mean as much. I mean, it was very important, especially in the 2000s, you know, where the winner of that game often won the SEC West or went to the SEC championship. But that hasn't necessarily been the case recently.
I think someone's going to end up without LSU on their schedule.
Oh, it has to.
No, who sort of envisions LSU as a rival in this 2024 schedule. Because LSU has, you could look at it and say they have rivalries with every team in the West.
It feels like,
Florida, of course. Florida's kind of the made-up rivalry, and now they play for, what, 30 years
And you
got to
find Texas or Oklahoma. That? You got to fit
in for Texas. And they've got the history with Ole Miss.
Yes.
Texas A&M and Arkansas and Alabama.
Their biggest rival, but State? Alabama's there, got Auburn and Tennessee.
I mean, between you think about it, LSU has everyone in the West. Maybe State. I don't know exactly what.
Yeah,
the
I don't know.
State.
I don't know that LSU fans are. I mean, that's something that does anything. For
I mean,
them.
I mean, lately they there have been some hotly contested. You know, that first game of the season when LSU was defending national champion and State sort of blitzed them. You know, but the you're right. Like there's that's maybe the tamest. Of the rivalries, of LSU in the West. Like Brian said, you've got Florida, and then you've also got to find room for Texas or Oklahoma on the schedule. So LSU's one to me that there's it feels like there's going to be somebody who thinks of LSU as a rival, as a nemesis that isn't going to see them on their 2024 schedule.
And it's how many teams have Alabama as their biggest rival, especially in the West right now?
Yeah, but how many of them does Alabama even
right? It's Tennessee and Auburn, right?
And LSU.
And LSU, yeah.
I think it's those three.
Yeah. Well, and we were saying there are rivalries, and a lot of them might be creations of division play.
Yep.
But I think a lot of these East teams can't imagine not playing each other anymore, right? So you think about Tennessee and Florida or Tennessee and South Carolina.
Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky, South Carolina. Like, there's these games that maybe to us don't seem like super intense rivalries, but these teams have played each other. Kentucky, Florida, right? Like, Kentucky and Florida.
Yeah, Kentucky hadn't beaten them in forever until the last couple of years.
I mean, I would think that's, and I don't even know if it made our list, but like that feels like a game that you probably need to be, you need to be continuing if you can find room for it. So, yeah, the SEC's got I want to see what they unveil on Wednesday night when they decide.
Yeah, that's why I'm excited about. There's so many different things that can
maybe
happen.
We'll have a little bit of an idea about what it's going to be like starting in 2025, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, but then on the other hand, I still feel like it's going to seem like divisions – with a few changes. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up Wednesday night on the SEC Network. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment here on this Monday afternoon. Any word on the, I guess they're obviously still in a weather delay there with the Southern Miss Tennessee baseball.
Yeah, let me see if I can get an update there as we've had a couple of pieces of breaking news during the show. I don't know if there's anything official about Grant Nelson, by the way, but a lot of the media outlets are reporting. Like, I don't know if he's announced anything, but a lot of the media outlets reporting that he's picking Alabama over Arkansas. A heavy Alabama lean is Grant Nelson. Let me see what I got on Southern Miss Tennessee.
Yeah, I tell you what, if he is an addition there, I mean, they really, really needed an inside guy. Didn't
I think it's still weather delay, no starting time announced.
Because the other transfers, I mean, I mentioned the guys Alabama had coming back, and their two transfers are guards too. The transfer from Hofstra and one from Cal State Fullerton. So I mean, they are guard loaded and didn't really have anybody on the inside. So I mean, that is a huge pickup for Alabama,
and we'll see if they're finished with additions, because there are still other players in the portal. But that's a nice. I think they thought they're not on plan A in the front court based on this offseason.
No,
right?
Not at all.
They thought Bediako was coming back. He decides to stay in the draft after a couple of really successful workouts. I still think a lot of folks at Alabama and thought Kobe Brown was going to eventually
I think it was a little bit of a surprise that Noah Clowney decided, you know, to stay. I mean, even though he's being projected pretty high. I mean, so they had to get some help.
I believe they were also in on Arthur Kaluma. The Creighton forward, who was also looking at Kentucky, he announced that he's going to Kansas State. Bit of a surprise for some SEC programs that thought they were going to get front court help from the big man out of Creighton.
All right, so we're still watching. If you weren't with us at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the Tennessee Southern Miss baseball game, because there's a possibility if this thing can't be played that they'll have to go to the tiebreakers, and the tiebreaker deciding the spot in the College World Series would go Tennessee's way.
Yeah, right now at least. And I don't know that one other game is going to affect RPI that much, so you would think it would be Tennessee.
Yeah, it comes down to if the teams were for the first tiebreaker would be where the teams are seated, and they were both two seeds.
Yep.
Coming in, I would guess. I mean, I wouldn't think they're going to talk about going to where they were seated. Mm-mm. Going in, because Southern Miss would have been a higher two seed than Tennessee, and they were. They had a higher RPI.
But they also right. adjust the seeding to right. keep teams from playing each other, their own teams in the conference. Like, they didn't want to send Tennessee. There were eight SEC teams hosting regional play. They didn't want to send Tennessee to any of those places, and so they had to tinker with the
Yeah, but Tennessee would have dropped. There were a few spots in between 13 and 4, because Southern Miss was right, at a 13 seed. There were other non-SEC seeds in between 13 and 4, but they also try to keep it regional.
Right. So it's not a straight, you know, 1 through 64 posting on the draw. And so Tennessee just ahead of Southern Miss in RPI right now. They were
behind them.
They were next to each other in RPI. I think Southern Miss was one spot ahead going into regionals. And then Tennessee, with their play in regionals, was able to leapfrog Southern Miss. And so now they're ahead of Southern Miss. And if this game is not played, as far as I can tell, Tennessee will advance.
Tennessee's going to Omaha.
Tennessee 12, Southern Miss 19 right now in RPI.
Yeah. So Tennessee would head to Omaha and be the third SEC team in.
They need
with
to
Florida and LSU.
They need to begin the game by 11 p.m. is what
local
Brian
time.
Was telling us. Yep. Local
it could
time.
Be a late night in Hattiesburg.
Yes,
and I'm sure there are some Southern Miss fans that'll stay up for it as well, though. But they need to. And then what are the rules about? Is there a time the game needs
I don't
to be
think
finished?
I don't think there's a curfew there as far as when they finish. I think they can play on.
And there's concerns about.
Wouldn't it be something wild? Wake up in the morning and the game's still going.
It might be. I mean, I would be.
In the 18th.
I'd be nervous. I'd be nervous for our play by play for this game, because there's no telling when you're going on the air, and there's no telling when this game's going to be over, because they really want to play it at Southern Miss. But
they have to play it. If you're Southern Miss, you have to play it.
Severe thunderstorm.
No option. Yep.
Severe thunderstorm warning in effect in Hattiesburg through 8 p.m. The game, and we were saying if they haven't started it by about 10:30 because of lightning, it seems unlikely they're going to be able to get it underway.
I wonder how their staffs are. Not that it matters. I mean, everybody's got to be ready to go tonight. So that is crazy. And then the Texas Stanford game, the other game, so the matchups right now in the that we have in the World Series. Wake Forest is awaiting the Texas Stanford winner. LSU will play the Southern Miss Tennessee winner. Okay. On the other side of the,
did you catch any of Skeens over the weekend?
I did not.
Good Lord! I mean, that guy's. I mean, I get
good.
It. I get it. I mean,
yeah, no question.
Yeah, I understand. I think that he's going to be Brian. The draft is next month.
Yes.
And the Pirates have the first overall pick.
Oh,
they've got a draft. No. The Pirates are. Everyone thinks the Pirates are going to take one of the toolsy outfielders, including maybe the maybe Dylan Cruz.
I just can't believe that.
Maybe the outfielder from LSU, right? Dylan Cruz. Maybe the outfielder, is it Wyatt Langford? Is from, the Florida
from the Gators?
And then there's a high schooler who people really think highly of as well. But there's about three outfielders that the Pirates are choosing between. I don't think they're going to take a pitcher. Second overall pick is the Washington Nationals. Seems like seems like Paul Skeens.
Skeens could follow Strasburg because that's who he's been compared to.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people see similarities there, and Skeens could end up in an organization that's looking for help. And I would expect to see him in Washington, D.C. pretty soon if he's...
He's not spending much time in the minors, that's for sure.
No, I don't think so. You're right. For a bad team, you know, he might spend the rest of this season and some of next year. If he lands on a contender, he probably won't. Because he's got to go. He's getting the Pirates. Yeah, unless
it's a deal. That could be a big deal. It has to be a big deal.
Yeah, right? I mean, he's the kind of guy who could pull a David Price and go help out in the bullpen like this October.
Oh, yeah.
But it's probably not in the cards.
Brian, before we run out of time, let everybody know about what you and everybody at AuburnSports.com have got going, how they can keep up with it.
Yeah, tons of official visitors in again today, about five or six. We'll have updates on them starting on Wednesday. Two more camps this week, Wednesday and Thursday, coverage of that. And, of course, the big announcement on SEC Network about the schedule for 2024. Baseball, facility updates, all that and more, AuburnSports.com.
And follow you?
BMATAU on Twitter.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate Always it. Great to have you here with us. We're out of time here on the Monday Drive. Back with you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.